Have you ever wondered what it would be like to live in a world obsessed with something you simply don't experience? Imagine everyone around you constantly discussing their favorite food, its taste, texture, and the joy it brings, while you've never felt hunger. This is the daily reality for approximately 1% of the population who identify as asexual. Julie Sondra Decker's groundbreaking work, The Invisible Orientation, has become a cornerstone text for understanding asexuality since its publication, praised by LGBTQ+ advocates and psychologists alike for filling a critical gap in sexual orientation literature. When actress Jameela Jamil came out as queer in 2020, she specifically mentioned asexuality visibility as a cause close to her heart. The book has been incorporated into university curricula worldwide and has helped countless individuals recognize themselves in its pages. For many readers, discovering this book has been nothing short of life-changing, the moment when they finally realized they weren't broken, just different. When I was 14, I had my first boyfriend. Though I wasn't attracted to him, I kissed him because it was expected, a social milestone I felt compelled to check off. The experience was far from the thrilling sensation depicted in movies and books. Instead, it felt mechanical and empty. At 16, my second boyfriend was perplexed by my complete lack of interest in sex. While my peers were exploring their sexuality with enthusiasm, I remained unmoved. My disinterest wasn't about saving myself, fear, pregnancy concerns, or moral objections. I simply had never experienced sexual attraction to anyone, a reality that took years to understand and accept. Asexuality is a sexual orientation describing people who don't experience sexual attraction to others. This straightforward definition belies the complexity of asexual experiences, which can include varying degrees of romantic attraction, aesthetic appreciation, and sensual desires. Some asexual people enjoy cuddling, kissing, or other forms of physical intimacy without sexual attraction. Asexuality isn't a complex sickness, sign of trauma, behavior, decision, or religious vow. The community actively fights misconceptions. Asexual people aren't plants, gender-confused, anti-any orientation, or going through a phase. They aren't defined by prudishness, failure to find partners, or fear of intimacy. Many lead rich, emotional lives with deep connections to others. For everyone, sexual orientation exists on a spectrum rather than in discrete categories. The asexual spectrum includes gray asexuals, who rarely experience sexual attraction, and demisexuals, who only develop sexual attraction after forming strong emotional bonds. When asexual people express attraction toward no one, this can appear indistinguishable from not yet to outside observers. However, asexuality is a valid answer to the orientation question, like choosing none of the above on a multiple choice test rather than leaving it blank. Asexuality describes a mature state, not a passing phase or developmental stage. Many asexual people repeatedly face the suggestion they'll eventually find the one and develop sexual feelings, which perpetuates an image of immaturity. At 39, some asexual individuals note it's no longer plausible they're just late bloomers. The community emphasizes that maturity shouldn't be measured by willingness to seek sexual experiences. Plenty of sexually active people are immature, while many asexual people develop fulfilling adult lives and relationships, including marriages, partnerships, and chosen families. A sexual orientation isn't a decision, but a description of how someone experiences attraction. Asexual people don't decide no one is sexually attractive. It just happens, much like how heterosexual or homosexual people don't choose their attractions. While asexual people can choose to have sex, as anyone can have sex with partners they're not attracted to, asexuality itself describes attraction, not behavior. Some asexual people engage in sexual activity for various reasons, to please partners, to have children, or out of curiosity, while maintaining their asexual identity. Labels can change if circumstances change. If an asexual person develops sexual attraction, they might adopt a different label. This doesn't invalidate their previous identity, as orientation can be fluid for some people, and self-discovery is a continuous journey.
While asexual people share the common thread of not experiencing sexual attraction to others, there are many subdivisions that describe different asexual experiences. A key distinction among asexual people is whether they experience romantic attraction to others. Those who do are called romantic asexual people. For these individuals, relationships don't include sexual attraction, but still qualify as romantic partnerships. Relationships don't require sex or sexual attraction to be romantic. While society often acknowledges sex without love is possible, many struggle to accept love without sexual desire as legitimate. Asexual people's romantic feelings can be as varied and intense as anyone else's, despite lacking sexual attraction. For many asexual people, expressing love through sex simply doesn't occur to them naturally. Romantic attraction functions independently from sexual attraction, and asexual people are the best judges of whether their relationships are romantic. Aromantic people experience no romantic attraction to others. They may stay single or pursue non-romantic partnerships, as romance isn't the only type of committed relationship possible. Many grew up confused by the concept of crushes and romantic attraction, often feeling pressured to fabricate romantic interests to fit in. Queer platonic relationships, dedicated, powerful partnerships that aren't romantic but exceed typical friendship boundaries, are common among aromantic asexual people, though anyone can have such relationships. Gray romantic people exist between romantic and aromantic orientations. They experience romantic attraction much less frequently, at lower intensity, or under different circumstances than most people. Demiromantic people only develop romantic attraction after forming emotional bonds with someone. Unlike most people who might experience immediate attraction or crushes on strangers, demiromantic individuals never experience romantic attraction based on immediately apparent qualities. Sexual identity isn't always simple or clearly defined. Some people fall close to asexual but occasionally experience sexual attraction. Graysexual describes people who primarily experience the world as asexual but occasionally feel sexual attraction. Unlike being picky or having low sex drive, graysexuality encompasses various experiences: feeling weak sexual attraction, going through phases of attraction and non-attraction, or experiencing ambiguous attractions. One gray asexual person described it as like having a glass of water with a little bit of soda poured into it. Not plain water, but definitely not soda. Demisexual people only experience sexual attraction after developing an emotional bond with someone. While many people experience both primary sexual attraction, immediate based on physical senses, and secondary sexual attraction, developing after emotional connection, demisexuals only experience the latter. This isn't about willingness to have sex or moral values regarding sex. Some demisexuals have sex without emotional connection just like anyone might. It's specifically about the capacity to feel sexual attraction, which for demisexuals requires a pre-existing bond. Sexual arousal, sex drive, and sexual attraction are distinct concepts. Asexual people don't experience sexual attraction to others, but many still have functioning bodies that respond to stimulation. Some asexual people masturbate, while others don't. Neither behavior invalidates their asexuality. Those who do often describe it differently than non-asexuals, as stress relief, a routine, or something they enjoy physically without connecting it to partnered sex. Many don't fantasize about real people or imagine themselves in sexual scenarios. Asexual people's attitudes towards sexual activity vary widely. Some enjoy it, some are indifferent, and some are repulsed. In a 2011 survey, 57.1% reported some degree of repulsion, while only 6.9% enjoyed sex. Those willing to engage sexually often do so primarily for their partner's benefit, though this isn't the only reason. Importantly, having sex doesn't invalidate asexuality, as orientation isn't determined by behavior. Some asexual people find polyamorous or non-monogamous relationships comfortable, as these arrangements can address varied emotional or practical needs that might be difficult to satisfy with a single partner. They may prefer non-traditional commitment structures or feel more secure knowing their non-asexual partners can find sexual satisfaction elsewhere, sparing them guilt and their partner's frustration. Asexual people can enjoy kinks, fetishes, and BDSM without experiencing sexual attraction or engaging in sexual activity. Many BDSM practices don't require sexual attraction to partners, focusing instead on psychological stimulation through consensual roleplay. The thrill of dominance or submission, bondage experiences, or service dynamics can provide satisfying endorphin rushes comparable to sex without requiring genital contact. Though many assume asexual people should simply find other asexual partners, this solution isn't simple. Asexuality is relatively uncommon, and most asexual people are isolated within their social circles. Even when asexual people do find each other, they face all the same compatibility issues as anyone else seeking relationships. Sexual compatibility is just one factor among many. Relationships between asexual and non-asexual people often develop organically, sometimes before the asexual person recognizes their orientation. These relationships require compromise, but the responsibility shouldn't fall solely on the asexual partner to change. Communication is essential, and both partners deserve respect for their needs. Many asexual people maintain successful, long-term relationships and marriages, though some discover their asexuality later in life, which can lead to relationship reconfiguration. Asexual people often face ridicule from those claiming they're misusing a scientific term for asexual reproduction. Critics joke about asexual people being amoebas or plants who reproduce by budding. However, asexual people are describing their orientation, not their reproduction method. Language depends on context, just as theory means different things in scientific versus casual settings. Asexuality is not based on hatred or fear of any gender. Just as a lesbian's attraction to women isn't a statement against men, asexual people aren't expressing hatred through their lack of sexual attraction. The suggestion that asexual people, especially women, demonstrate hatred by refusing sex is both ridiculous and sexist. No, asexual people aren't dating failures who became asexual after rejection. Many asexual people have dated, are actively dating, or are in relationships. They typically receive similar romantic attention as anyone else with comparable characteristics. Bad experiences don't make people stop feeling sexual attraction, nor does giving up on dating make someone asexual. Conventional attractiveness has no correlation with asexuality. People don't stop experiencing sexual attraction because they themselves aren't conventionally attractive. This dismissive argument often manifests in comments like, "I wouldn't sleep with you anyway," suggesting the speaker's aesthetic judgment is the ultimate test of someone's desirability. In reality, asexual people span the full spectrum of physical attractiveness. Asexuality isn't linked to any biological disease or disorder. Most asexual people have typical bodies, bodily functions, and hormone production. While various hormone disorders and psychological conditions can affect sexual interest, lack of sexual attraction isn't the only symptom in any of these disorders. Even when medication or medical conditions interact with sexual interest, a person doesn't need to be free of all complicating factors to legitimately identify as asexual. This myth suggests asexual people are just too preoccupied with other passions to properly pursue sexual relationships. In reality, people invest time in what matters to them. Asexual people haven't simply run out of time for sexual relationships, they don't experience the attraction that would make them prioritize such pursuits. Bad sex doesn't cause people to stop experiencing sexual attraction. Some asexual people do try sex despite not feeling attraction, and their experiences range from physically enjoyable to actively unpleasant. As one asexual person described, "I've had sex. It felt good. I liked it. But it wasn't the mind-blowing experience I was led to believe. It didn't sexually awaken me." The harmful suggestion that asexuality stems from trauma attempts to explain away asexuality rather than accepting what asexual people say about themselves. Not experiencing sexual attraction isn't evidence of past trauma. like harmful myths that gay men were molested as boys or lesbians were hurt by men, this belief assumes everyone is sexually attracted to others by default, and anything different must be fixed. While technically possible that an asexual person might someday experience attraction, dismissing their current lived experience is inappropriate. It's like telling heterosexual people they just haven't met the right same-gender partner, or telling someone who hates hamburgers they just haven't tried the right one. Sexual orientations describe consistent patterns in a person's life. The asexual community provides support and connection for those who often feel isolated in a hyper-sexualized society. While formal organizations are limited compared to established LGBTQ groups, online spaces have become vital hubs for asexual people to share experiences, develop terminology, and build understanding. These communities help members recognize they aren't broken or alone, while creating resources to educate others about asexuality as a legitimate orientation. Much of the asexual community connects online, with younger people overrepresented in these spaces. This skews statistics and sometimes leads outsiders to dismiss asexuality as a youthful phase. Young asexual people face particular alienation when media constantly portrays their age group as hormonally driven and obsessed with sex. They're frequently told they'll develop sexual attraction when they mature, despite the fact that most people determine their attraction patterns by early teens. Society paradoxically desexualizes older people, while actual asexual seniors face dismissal with phrases like, "That's just how it is when you're older." By age 30, people are expected to have established their romantic lives, with singlehood viewed as pathetic or lonely. Many partnered older asexual people spent decades not knowing asexuality exists, accepting that sex was expected of them despite lack of attraction. Women outnumber men in asexual communities for several possible reasons. Men may be less inclined to participate in communities focused on discussing feelings. Social expectations that men define themselves through sexual conquests make identifying as asexual potentially threatening to their masculinity. Men without sexual interest are often labeled as homosexual, failures who can't get laid, or as having given up, creating significant peer pressure against coming out. White people are significantly overrepresented in asexual communities, partly due to socioeconomic factors affecting internet access where most asexual communities form. People of color, especially Black, Hispanic, and Latinx individuals, are hypersexualized from an early age in Western society. They're assumed to be sexually promiscuous regardless of their actual feelings or behaviors. Conversely, certain ethnicities are sometimes desexualized, with their asexuality dismissed as cultural prudishness. Many asexual people also identify as LGB based on their romantic attractions rather than sexual ones. They may describe themselves as gay or bi when referring to their romantic relationships without always specifying asexual, homoromantic, or similar terms. Asexual people with same-gender or multiple-gender romantic attractions often participate in queer communities but may face misunderstanding. Transgender and asexual communities have significant overlap, with about 10.2% of asexual spectrum people identifying as transgender, according to a 2011 survey. Both communities tend to be well-educated about each other's issues, likely due to shared online spaces and the efforts of trans asexual educators. Asexual communities also show high acceptance of non-binary gender identities, with a 2011 survey revealing significant numbers of asexual people identifying as gender-neutral, 12%, androgynous, 11.4%, gender-queer, glash-variant, 11.1%, gender-fluid, 8%, or agender, 6.2%. If you don't experience sexual attraction, feel the need for sex in your life, or desire sexual activities in your relationships, you may be asexual. Only you can determine this for yourself. Many asexual people have felt like outsiders, wondering if they're the only ones who don't find sex interesting, assuming others were exaggerating their desires or mentally searching for reasons why they can't relate to this sex thing. Realizing you're asexual can feel overwhelming as you recognize you're fundamentally different from most people in such an important way. You might worry about acceptance, relationships, and how your future will look when it doesn't match societal expectations. This realization can trigger shock, depression, grieving, or alternatively, relief and excitement. Remember that asexuality isn't an illness or disorder. Asexual people can have relationships if they want them, experience many of the same feelings as others, have various romantic orientations, and may or may not enjoy physical intimacy. Coming out as asexual is entirely your choice. Some find it self-affirming and believe they're contributing to asexual visibility, while others prefer privacy. You're not obligated to come out if you aren't ready or comfortable, especially considering the misunderstandings and criticism asexual people often face. If you're concerned about someone's reaction, you might test the waters by sharing an article about asexuality or bringing it up in conversation without disclosing your identity. Facing criticism when coming out as asexual is unfortunately common. People may ask invasive questions about your genitals, suggest sex toys, probe your romantic history, or insist you see a doctor. Remember, you have the right to refuse answering inappropriate questions. Use deflection, sarcasm, or direct confrontation when necessary. With concerned loved ones, understand they may genuinely believe they're helping you avoid loneliness or health problems. Asexual teens often face unique challenges when coming out, as adults frequently dismiss their identity as a phase or late blooming. Remember that most people begin forming their sexual identity during teenage years, and your self-awareness is valid. When explaining your asexuality to skeptical adults, it may help to frame it as, "I've never found anyone attractive that way, so I'll identify as asexual unless that changes for me." Navigating relationships as an asexual person requires honest communication and fair compromise. While some asexuals prefer partnering with other asexuals, most find themselves negotiating relationships with non-asexual partners. If you've discovered your asexuality while already in a relationship, recognize that the issue isn't something wrong with you, but rather a mismatch of sexual needs. Crucial to these conversations is understanding that no one is obligated to have sex for any reason, and love can be expressed in many ways beyond sexual activity. After recognizing your asexuality, connecting with community can provide tremendous relief and joy. Online asexual communities offer opportunities to share stories, get coming out advice, make friends, and deepen your understanding of asexuality. Some LGBTQ+ groups welcome asexual people, though heteroromantic or aromantic cisgender asexuals may find acceptance varies. Even if online communities aren't your preference, they can help connect you with in-person organizations and individuals. If someone you know has come out as asexual, you might feel concerned, curious, happy, or worried. When discussing asexuality, listen more than you talk and educate yourself through resources beyond just the asexual person. Above all, asexual people want acknowledgement that asexuality exists. Though asexual people rarely face deliberate oppression, living without recognition of a central aspect of their identity still constitutes prejudice. To acknowledge asexual existence, avoid blanket statements about sexuality that suggest everyone needs or is driven by sex. Represent asexuality in academic discussions or surveys when possible. Don't assume everyone who's single is seeking partnership. Most importantly, approach people without assuming everyone experiences sexual attraction until proven otherwise. If an asexual person comes out to you, the best response is to listen. They're expressing trust, and even if you have misgivings, dismissive reactions may cause them to withdraw completely. When supporting asexual people, avoid suggesting their orientation is actually repressed homosexuality, trauma, or a disorder. Don't claim you're sometimes asexual or that you wish you were. This can come across as trivializing their experiences. Saying an asexual person is lucky may sound condescending, implying their life is carefree while yours is complicated. Don't make assumptions about what their asexuality means, even if your statements seem supportive. When someone comes out as asexual, avoid negative reactions like, "Are you sure?" or dismissive laughter. Instead, thank them for sharing and trusting you with this information. Ask if they'd like to tell you more about their experience discovering their asexuality or discuss their romantic orientation. Express support by acknowledging you've heard of asexuality before or that it makes sense some people would be asexual. If your child identifies as asexual, understand that most people experience sexual attraction beginning around age 10. A teenager reporting no sexual attraction may indeed be asexual. Importantly, don't treat asexuality as a medical condition needing curing. Research shows asexuality isn't a disorder. Telling your child, "You'll grow out of it," or "You're not old enough to decide," can deeply hurt them. When a partner comes out as asexual, it's normal to feel hurt, confused, or worried about the relationship's future. Remember that asexual people are conditioned to hide their lack of sexual attraction, often feeling ashamed or believing they're alone in their experience. Your partner likely wasn't being dishonest. They may have only recently discovered asexuality themselves. This isn't about your attractiveness or sexual performance. If you're committed to the relationship, honest communication about boundaries and needs is essential. Questions should be open-minded, polite, and free of biased language. Avoid loaded questions like, "Don't you think you'd better get your hormone levels checked?" Remember that personal medical questions may not be your business, and hormonal lack of sex drive differs from lack of sexual attraction. Before asking intimate questions about genitals, masturbation, or orgasms, consider whether you'd feel comfortable asking such things of a non-asexual acquaintance. Avoid assuming asexual people look down on others for their sexuality. Most asexual people support consensual sexual relationships for others, even if they don't want sex themselves. Sex positivity should include the option not to engage in sex. Don't assume asexual people are disgusted by or naive about relationships or sexuality. Asexual isn't synonymous with sex negative or dateless. Being an ally means supporting asexual people, even when they're not present, to appreciate it.